At 11 in the morning of Friday, the 14th of October, 1803, Elizabeth Darcy sat at the table in her sitting room on the first floor of Pemberley House. The room was not large, but the proportions were particularly pleasing, and the two windows gave a view of the river. This was the room Elizabeth had chosen for her own use, to be fitted out entirely as she wished. Furniture, curtains, carpets, and pictures selected from the riches of Pemberley and disposed as she desired. Darcy himself had supervised the work, and the pleasure in her husband's face when Elizabeth had taken possession, and the care taken by everyone to comply with her wishes, had made her realize, more even than had the more ostentatious glories of the house, the privileges that adhered to Mrs. Darcy of Pemberley. The room which gave her almost as much delight as the sitting room was Pemberley's splendid library. It was the work of generations, and now her husband had the interest and joy of adding to its riches. The library at Longbourn was Mr. Bennet's domain, and even Elizabeth, his favourite child, entered it only by invitation. The library at Pemberley was as freely open to her as it was to Darcy, and with his tactful and loving encouragement she had read more widely, and with greater enjoyment and comprehension, in the last 6 years than in all the past 15, augmenting an education which, she now understood, had never been other than rudimentary. Dinner parties at Pemberley could not be more different from those she had sat through at Meryton, when the same group of people spread the same gossip and exchanged the same views, enlivened only when Sir William Lucas recalled at length yet another fascinating detail of his investiture at the court of St. James. Now it was always with regret that she would catch the eyes of the ladies and leave the gentlemen to their masculine affairs. It had been a revelation to Elizabeth that there were men who valued intelligence in a woman. It was the day before Lady Anne's ball. For the last hour, she and the housekeeper, Mrs. Reynolds, had been checking that the preparations so far were in order, and that everything was going ahead smoothly. And now Elizabeth was alone. The first ball had taken place when Darcy was a year old. It was held to celebrate the birthday of his mother, and, except for the period of mourning when her husband died, the ball had taken place every year until Lady Anne's own death. Held on the first Saturday after the October full moon, it usually fell due within days of Darcy's and Elizabeth's wedding anniversary, but this they always planned to spend quietly with the Bingleys, who had married on the same day, feeling that the occasion was too intimate and precious to be celebrated with public revelry, and at Elizabeth's wish, the autumn ball was still named for Lady Anne. It was regarded by the county as the most important social event of the year. Mr. Darcy had voiced his concern that it might not be a propitious year in which to hold the ball, with the expected war with France already declared, and the growing fear in the south of the country, where invasion by Bonaparte was daily expected. The harvest, too, had been poor, with all that meant to country life. A number of gentlemen, raising worried eyes from their account books, were inclined to agree that there should be no ball this year, but were met with such outrage from their wives, and the certainty of at least 2 months of domestic discomfort, that they finally agreed that nothing was more conducive to good morale than a little harmless entertainment, and that Paris would rejoice exceedingly and take new heart were that benighted city to learn that the Pemberley ball had been cancelled.